This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Consider us by the color of our skin or our social status or any of that. Rather, Allah judges us according to our deeds and according to our actions. That is justice. That no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And the angels bear witness. And those who possess knowledge, they bear witness that Allah stands firmly for justice.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد All praise is due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم I begin by greeting my brothers and sisters saying السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Speaking of human rights Before we go into what are the rights of humans I really do not think That is the issue. The issue is not what are the rights of humans. The issue is who humans are. Because many times we tend to be speaking of rights, but we're talking about certain kind of people are entitled to these rights. And in reality, we are not addressing the mere issue of who these humans are. Let me give you an example. I remember one time in the Washington Post, a local newspaper in the States, On the third page of the Washington Post, it was said that 35 dogs died in Texas when they ate poisoned food. 35 dogs died because they ate poisoned food. On page six, it was reported that 1,000 Nigerians died when an oil pipe exploded. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that 35 dogs dying is reported on page three? And you mean to tell me that 1,000 Africans died is reported on page six? We're talking about human life, intensity, number, impact, but yet our problem has always been, or I think, is who humans are. See, my brothers and sisters, the Quran, when it addresses the issue of justice, this is what it emphasizes. That remember, you are dealing with another human being. See, many times we can be aware of the rights and we can be aware of what these people are entitled to. But what we do in the process is that we dehumanize them. Not that we take away the rights, but we feel that they are not entitled to these rights at this point. Be it to the fact that we love or we hate or we are angry or what have you, as inshallah we will see in some of these examples. Very quickly, the other day, I was talking about how, what kind of importance does Islam give to the concept of justice. And we said that we can see five verses in the Quran, how Allah speaks of this concept. And the point for it is that the protection of human rights. Number one, Allah says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ So that Allah bears witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And the angels bear witness. And those who possess knowledge, they bear witness that Allah stands firmly for justice. So number one, we are taught in the Quran that it is one of the attributes of Allah. You ask how just Allah is, and we know the verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not consider us by the color of our skin or our social status or any of that, or the fact that we are male or female. That is all irrelevant. Rather, Allah judges us according to our deeds and according to our actions. That is justice. You look again, and the second verse that explains the importance of justice in the Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have sent our messengers with clear signs, and we gave them the scripture, the book. Why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that men may uphold justice. What the verse tells us is why Isa, Jesus, was sent, Moses was sent, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, all these prophets, they came for what? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people may uphold justice. And we also look into the Quran and again, and we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ, Allah commands people of justice and righteousness. Now wait a minute. Righteousness is superior. Ihsan, it is the highest form of iman. Yet Allah mentions justice before He mentions ihsan, to tell us the importance of this concept of justice, that this is what the messengers were sent for. And also remember, no matter how you feel about the other person, no matter how good of a person you are, you always give justice. And then the next two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ, He said, all you who believe, stand as witnesses for Allah, or be as witnesses for Allah, standing firmly for justice, be it against your own self, or against your own parents or your kins. The other verse says, all you who believe, stand firmly for justice as witnesses for Allah, and do not let your hatred of other people swerve you from justice. Be just, for that is where piety is. See, anyone can be just. Most people can be fair in normal circumstances. But we are truly tested. We are truly tested when you've got these emotions of either a lot of love or extreme hate. That is when the whole concept of justice is needed most. And that is why we have to be just under all circumstances. However, we may know it in theory, but if we do not act upon it, if we keep demanding and not wanting to fulfill our obligations, our religion becomes nothing but philosophy, good principles to live by, or actually to think about. Whether you implement it or you do not is not important. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, some of the people of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, were cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the wrongdoing that they did. And then Allah says, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَمْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُونَ, and they never forbade one another. They saw injustice going on, they saw wickedness going on, but what happened is that although they all saw it, but no one did anything about it. The culture of silence. And also the Prophet ﷺ gives a beautiful example. And he says that the people who see wrong and do not do anything about it is like a group of people that embarked a ship. Some were on the upper deck of the ship and others were on the lower deck of the ship. And every time the people from the lower deck needed water, what they did is that they came up to the upper deck and they got the water and they went back in again. And somehow they felt that they were inconveniencing the people that were on the upper deck. So what happened is that they thought to themselves, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they said, you know, every time we need the water, what we're doing is that we are getting up on the upper deck, bringing discomfort to the people who are on the upper deck. It will be easier if we were to just make a hole where we are at the very bottom of the ship. So this way, the water is going to come up. But what happens if that happens? What the Prophet ﷺ said, if they let them do this, even though the intention is good, said, if they let them do this, everyone is going to sink. However, if people see it and they stop them, everyone is going to be saved. So my brothers, It is not important. More important than fighting for justice is that we ourselves be just. More important than fighting for equality is that we ourselves be fair. So Islam does not accept any form of passivity when it comes to the whole concept of justice. It must be served, and it must be served all the time. And remember, no matter what happens, humans do not lose their integrity and dignity. No matter how wicked they may become, every single person always possesses their human dignity and integrity. And again, remember, what we do in the process is that it is not their rights that we forget, it is the fact that they are humans that we forget. Let me give you some of these examples, and they will be in the form of stories. And I apologize, some of them, by the way, most of these stories, if not all, are true stories. But in the process, they tell us how we dehumanize other people.
Islam is still spreading because it is not the religion of paper. Islam is a way of life.
Words of warning.
On the day of judgment, every human being is vulnerable to be touched by hellfire.
Abdullah Hakim Quick.
Men have rights over women, but women also have rights over men.
Mamdouh Muhammad.
We should remember, what have we prepared for the day of judgment?
Reminder, every Thursday at 11:30 p.m. UK and 12:30 a.m. Europe on Peace TV.
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك لا شريك لك
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Brother Salim Al-Amri. My dear brothers and sisters who are intending to perform the Hajj this year, may Allah Azza wa Jal make it easy for you. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept your Hajj. And may Allah Azza wa Jal grant you a safe return. Ameen.
One time, it was said that a man was wrongly imprisoned for 3 years. And when he came out of prison, his wife was pregnant. So he was not able to see his family for 3 years. So he had a son that he has not seen. So on the day that he was freed from prison, you can just see the hugs and the kisses and the tears of happiness that were going on at that place. You know, the husband hugging his wife, hugging his child, and just crying out of happiness, out of joy that he is finally reunited with his family. So the mother is a bit busy on this side, and the son is talking to his father, and he is, as he is talking, he calls him, sir. So the father looks at him and he says, don't call me sir. I am your daddy, call me daddy. So the son looks at him and goes, no, you are not daddy. Daddy is the man that sleeps with mommy every day. Now, to add insult to injury, there is nothing worse than this. Now that you are wrongly imprisoned, and on top of that, you find out that your family was not faithful to you. So immediately, his face changes. And as they are driving back home, his wife is talking to him, but he is no longer the sweet, loving husband that he was a few minutes ago. And she does not know why, but she explains to herself, you know, probably it's because the jail time that he had to do. I mean, that we're talking about more than 1,000 days. They change a man. His face changed. He's got all gray hair all over. He lost weight. He's really changed. So they go home, and she's talking to her husband, reminding him, do you remember what we said when we made that vow? If Allah ever frees you from prison, we are going to make, you know, Hajj, or we're going to make Umrah. And the husband blasts back as his wife, and he says, you're not even pure enough to go to the house of Allah. And now she doesn't understand what he's talking about. And in the midst of anger, what does he do? He pushes her down the stairs. And she falls down the stairs. She goes all the way down. 20 steps she's going down. In the meantime, the son is coming to his father, and he's showing him a picture. And he said, see, here is daddy. The husband takes the picture, and it is his picture 3 years ago. He said, what are you talking about? He said, every night I come to mom and I say, mom, can I please sleep with you? Mom will say, no, you cannot sleep with me. I am going to sleep with daddy. And she holds the picture. He runs downstairs to see what happened to the wife. She broke her spinal cord, became quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down. Now tell me, how many times can you say you're sorry? Tell me, how many times can you say, I did not mean it? Tell me, how many times can you say, I wish I asked, I wish I did? But see, the question is this. Islam says, even when you get information about other human being, make sure that you verify it. Do not let your words of assumptions kick in. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَنْ تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. O ye who believe, whenever you receive information, verify it, so that you may not harm other people and bear the ill consequences of what you do. But again, in the process, we forget that we are dealing with human beings. Not only that, but we tend to be very selective as to what kind of human beings we like to love and get along with. One time it was said that a young man was in the army. So after a few years, his family never heard from him. He calls home and he says, Dad, I am on my way home. And the father is very excited. The mother is very excited. And they're all waiting for that day. You know, we're so happy that you are coming back. And then he asks them, Dad, can I bring a friend with me? He was, you know, in the battlefield with me. I'd like to bring him with me. They said, of course, no problem. And then he said, but there is only one problem with him. We were walking one day and a landmine exploded, and he lost a leg and he lost an arm and he lost one of his eyes. So they said, no problem, just have him come in. I said, you know, mom, actually I'm not bringing him in. I like him to live with us. So the father said, you know, or the mother said, son, we're talking about someone that is severely handicapped here. We cannot, it will be a lot of responsibility, just great inconveniency, you know, to have someone like this in our house. And as they are talking, they find out that someone has hung up the phone, or he's no longer on the other line. And they are screaming, hello, hello. No one gets anything. A few days after, they receive a phone call from the police. And they say, we have a body here and we believe it is your son's body. And we like you to come and identify the body. You know, all saddened, they go there to identify the body. And they said, you know, we do not think that he died out of natural causes. We believe that it was a suicide. So they go in to identify the body, and here's what they find. Their son lost a leg, he lost an arm, and he also lost one of his eyes. What happens is that we feel that our love or acceptance of other human beings is very conditional. So long that they do not cause any inconveniency in our lives, we are going to take them. The more good looking they are, the better social status that they have, you know, the less inconveniency they cause us, that is when we are getting them. In reality, a person does not lose his integrity or his dignity because of his circumstances. One time, this speaker was invited to give a motivational speech. So what he did is that he took $100 from his pocket. And he said, who would like to have this $100? So they all, you know, all the people that were attending, they all raised their hands. We want $100. So I said, okay, one condition. He takes the $100 and he really crumbles it very bad. And he says, now, who wants this $100? And all the people that raised their hands earlier, they all raised their hands again. He goes, one more thing. He throws it down on the ground and he really, really steps on it. And he picks it up again and he says, now, who still wants this $100? They all raise their hand again. They all want the $100. He takes the $100 and he spits on it. And he says, now, who wants the $100? Again, they all raised their hands for the $100. And then he says, ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. You just learned a great lesson on value. You all knew that the crumbled $100 was still worth $100. When I threw it on the ground and I stepped on it, it was still worth $100. When I spit on it, it was still worth $100. Human beings are like that. No matter what circumstances are, no matter what difficult times they're going through, no matter how much they have failed, no matter how crumbled they may be, no matter how many people have stepped on them, they do not lose their value. No one loses their value, my brothers and sisters. No matter how poor you are, beginning with you, you should never allow anyone to degrade you because of your circumstances. Equally as important, you do not degrade and rip people of their human dignity and integrity because of the situations that they are in, no matter what they are guilty of. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was presented with a man that was drinking alcohol all the time and people started cursing him, he said, do not curse him. He loves Allah and his messenger. Now this is an alcoholic, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, look, this alcoholic person loves Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that I may be guilty of it, but guess what? It does not reduce my human dignity and integrity, no matter what happens. And every time you deal with any other person, make sure, my brothers and sisters, that we recognize the difference between these two things, between the person and between the performance. We can criticize the performance. Definitely was an evil deed. It's a terrible deed. It was a bad deed. But the person himself does not lose his human dignity and integrity, even if he is a kafir. That's what was said earlier. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. The children of Adam were all honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say this, wallahi, it is not for the sake of political correctness, or for the sake of sounding good, or for the fact that we have non-Muslim in the audience. That is irrelevant. We are relaying the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are talking about what Islam is saying, and what Islam emphasizes is not the human rights, although it was greatly addressed. It was the fact that, remember that they are humans no matter what. No matter what, they are humans. And that is why, again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you hear this, you know, all the time here, and that is a person, you know, you have your child walking around, break something, and you start cursing them, or you start yelling them, or giving them names, or, and the Prophet ﷺ said, look, inna lil aniyati ajal kama anna lakum ajal fala tasubbu awladakum. He said, your household items have an appointed term the same way that you have an appointed term, so do not curse your children. And you hear again people stripping other people from their human dignity and integrity, no matter what happens, and Islam absolutely refuses this position, my brothers and sisters. And that is why, again, Islam says that it is not enough, that you cannot be passive. I quoted Desmond Tutu when he said, in a situation of injustice, if you decide to be neutral, then you have chosen the side of the oppressor. And that is not an acceptable Islamic position. Do something about it. Was said that a king, one time, he wanted to test his fellow citizens. So what he did is that he placed this big rock on the way, on the path of people. And he hid behind another rock to see how the people were going to react. It was very clear that that piece of a rock was an inconvenience to whoever passes by that road. So he saw some of his ministers, they came. They saw the rock, they walked around it, and they kept going. Nothing. So then other people came, they looked around, they saw the rock, they walked around it, and kept going. A peasant comes, and he was carrying his belongings, and when he saw the rock, he put his belongings down, and he starts pushing the rock outside of the path of people. And it was a big rock, and he struggled with it, and finally he was able to push it. And the minute he pushed it away, there was a purse there with a lot of gold in it, and there was a letter from the king. And this is a gift to he who removes this from the path of people. Now this is what the king said or did, but 1400 years ago Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this, that a man was walking on the road and then he saw a big branch of a tree that was an inconvenience to people. So he said to himself, let me remove this from the path of the Muslims, and he threw it out of the way. Allah forgave his sins and Allah admitted him to paradise. It may be as little as this, but the idea that Islam always emphasizes that as a Muslim you have a contribution to make to humanity. And the biggest contribution that you can make is respecting their human dignity and integrity all the time and positively contributing to the elimination of injustice and the bringing of justice. We cannot be passive, my brothers and sisters. We can talk about the rights. We can say, yes, you have the right to own, you have the right to do this. But what happens if there is no one to speak on behalf of these oppressed people? We're giving the example yesterday about the divorcees, about the widows, about the AIDS patients. What about the handicapped people? Handicapped people. Have you seen the way they are treated in our societies, in our communities? And I say this to our, in our Muslim communities and societies. How they are devalued, how they are not paid attention to.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Yasir Fazaga and I would like to wish all of you and your families a very happy Eid and Eid Mubarak to all.
Pray for our
world. What kind of importance does Islam give to the concept of justice? The protection of human rights. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not consider us by the color of our skin or our social status or any of that. Rather, Allah judges us according to our deeds and according to our actions. That is justice. That no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And the angels bear witness. And those who possess knowledge, they bear witness that Allah stands firmly for justice. What about the handicapped people? Handicapped people. Have you seen the way they are treated in our societies, in our communities? And I say this to our, in our Muslim communities and societies. How they are devalued, how they are not paid attention to. Subhanallah, listen to this. I was told that one time in a certain locality, a family had a son. The son was mentally retarded. But they were so ashamed of their son as if it was his fault. He was born that way. So what they would do is that they would never allow him. They had never allowed him to leave the house. Because they did not want the people to see their son. They were ashamed of him. And again you ask, what fault of his is it that he is where he is? But that is what we do. One time it was brought to the US, twins that were connected from their head. They were connected. 2-year-old, two girls, beautiful girls. And they said that they were from the area, meaning in the subcontinent here. And they said that when people found out about what kind of children my wife delivered, they all said, this is a curse from Allah and they must have done something very wicked, and that is why Allah is punishing them the way He is punishing them. And they would not help them. A Canadian doctor finds out about these two twins and he decides that he is going to do the surgery for free from A to Z. And what does he say in the process? These are human beings. They deserve to have a good quality of life. And in our case, we say, oh, this is a curse from Allah. This is a punishment from Allah. And in the process, what happens? Again, we take the human dignity and integrity from these people. Not accepted, my brothers and sisters. Again, wallahi, we keep talking about their rights, but what is most important is that recognizing that they are humans. All the time. And the very first step that you take in order to justify wrongdoing against other humans is that you devalue them and you dehumanize them. That's what the Europeans did about Africa. They're heathens, they are the pagans, they don't know. That's what we did when we called them kafirs. They deserve it anyways. Don't worry about them. Collateral damages. And what we are doing is that we are debasing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. It is our hope that such a beautiful exhibition, when we walk out from it, it's not necessarily how much we have learned, it is what are we going to do with what we have learned. See, the intent of this is not to make a walking libraries out of every single one of us. That is not it. You could have read a book yourself. But the intent is really, what can we teach? What can we take that when we leave from here, we are going to have a positive impact on our society? Remember, they say charity begins at home. Do you always recognize the people of your family, the people within your family, as human beings, no matter what? And if you do recognize them, how do you display this in action? You know, one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spoken about, respecting the privacy of people. That is part of their rights. Allah says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy on one another. People have the right of privacy. Now, speaking of privacy, I have another joke for you, but this time you really have to laugh, inshallah. Said that one time, they were holding elections in one of the Muslim countries. So the question was, do you want him or do you want him? No, I'm just kidding. Said the question said, do you say yes or do you say no? Meaning that there was only one candidate. And that was the question. Do you want this candidate to be the president again, or do you not want this candidate to be the president again? Speaking of privacy. So this very enthusiastic fellow, he goes to the election booth and he puts a big cross and it's a no. Doesn't want it. And he comes back home and he's very proud of himself and what he has done. And his wife asks, you know, so how was the elections? And he said, it was great. Today I spoke my heart and I told him what I felt like. She said, what do you mean? He said, I said no. She said, you crazy fool. Do you know what you have done? Do you know that the secret services can come back tomorrow? Do you know that they can fire from your job? Do you know that if you lose your job, our children are going to have no place, we're going to have no food? And the man is just extremely scared now. He recognizes what big of a fool he is. So he goes back to the election booth, and there was a guard out there. And he tells the guard, excuse me, sir, I really made a big, big, huge mistake. And I beg your forgiveness, but I really have to get my election card back and fix the mistake that I got. The guard looks at him and he goes, well, this time we fixed your mistake for you, but make sure that you don't do it next time. Okay. But it is the whole concept of privacy, you know, that Islam really respects, says that it is part of people's rights. Now, sometimes people are drinking apple juice. Apple juice in the US looks like the color of wine. Now people are saying, is this really wine? Is this really apple juice? Is this really this or what is it? So we get to be very curious for the sake of finding faults on other people. And Islam says, no, they are humans, respect their privacy. Meaning that even if you suspect it, do not try to verify it in such a way that you can say, I got my brother or my sister on something here. And the examples can go on and on and on, but Islam goes beyond the obvious. What you need to remember is this, that no matter what, these people are always, they are always holders of human dignity and integrity. Now, basically, this is what I had in mind. But very quickly, what I have seen here in Chennai is absolutely beautiful. If there is one thing that I like to stress and emphasize as a word of sharing here, something with my brothers and sisters, is that we have some sort of similarities between you and us, meaning that we are a Muslim minority in a non-Muslim majority in the West. And we have the same thing, you are a minority here. And there are many misconceptions that are going around about our religion, where you and I are guilty by association. Every time people see us or they hear the word Islam, the worst of images come to their mind. And we have a responsibility towards the non-Muslims, definitely by giving a better image of Islam. But I also feel that in order to do so and achieve that, we must be united, my brothers and sisters. We cannot be scattered. We may differ with one another, But let not our differences together hinder our progress. Do not let it affect our welfare. You see what's happening nowadays around the world? They're having the countries of South America are coming together. The countries of Europe are coming together. The countries of Asia are coming together. And when you look into us Muslims, both on the global level and also on the local level, you see that we have this tendency. We almost insist upon it that we are going to just differ. They say if you have five Muslims and you ask them one question, you get seven answers back. That's how it is, and it is very sad. And if you look into the teachings of Islam, it is always a call to unity. Pray by yourself. There is more reward when you pray with the rest of the believers. Make Umrah, more reward when you make Hajj with the rest of the believers. Fast any day, make sure you get more reward when you fast Ramadan with the rest of the believers. A constant, constant invitation to unity, yet we are very, very scattered. And the minute that happens, then what happens? We lose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Do not go into quarrel about one another, for this will only lead to failure, but you will no longer be prosperous. So my brothers and sisters, please be united. No matter how much we disagree with one another. But by the end of the day, remember that I am not only a human being, but I also belong to the family of Muslims. And as a member of that family, I have obligations as well as I have rights. The same way that you have your obligations and you have your rights. Secondly, let us pick our battles. What is it that we want? We may differ, but what are our battles? Do we just raise war about every single point? In other words, let us remember the fiqh of priorities, determining what is most important at this point. Imagine this. They said that once someone had a traffic accident and they were bleeding to death. They had broken bones. And imagine now they are brought into the emergency room and the doctor sees that person and he goes, oh, his thumb is broken. We need to fix the thumb. The person is bleeding to death and the dumb doctor is saying the thumb is broken. We need to fix the thumb. No problem. Yes, we do acknowledge that the thumb is broken. But there is more serious problem going on. The person is bleeding. So pay attention to that which is most important. If your engine in your car, if the engine in your car is about to go bad, you are not worried about the paint on your car. You want to fix a bigger problem. Similarly, this is what happens when we are in a community. What do we want to do? We have the beautiful example in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she relates. She said that, كان أول ما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للناس لا إله إلا الله. Amongst the very first things that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم preached to people is, oh you people, say لا إله إلا الله. And then she continued and she comments and she said, had Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said to people, give up alcohol, they will all say, we will never give up alcohol. And had Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم told people not to fornicate, they would all say that we will never give up fornication. What happens is that most important things should come first. You see, you say that, well, there are many problems. Well, make sure that you pick your battles. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once addressing Aisha, and he said, you know, the way the Kaaba looks nowadays, the house of Allah in Mecca, he said, this was not really how it was built during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. During the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it had two doors where you walk in from one and you walk out from the other. But then the Prophet said, and had it been my wish, I would have built it the same way that it was built by Ibrahim alayhi salam. But your people are still new to Islam, and this would not be a point that I should be raising with them. See, they're saying that they're Muslims, but the Prophet ﷺ recognized that, you know what, at this point, that is not the best thing to do. Not only that, today was Friday. Some of us read Surah Al-Kahf. You know, it's sunnah to read it on Fridays. And Surah Al-Kahf, what happens? Al-Khadr alayhi salam, what does he do? He makes a hole in the ship. And Musa alayhi salam is saying, what are you doing? You're ruining the ship that belongs to these poor people. And Al-Khadr alayhi salam says, remember I told you are not going to be patient with me? And then the story goes on, and then he explains. He tells him that there was a tyrant up there. And had he seen this ship in a good condition, he would have confiscated it. So what I did is that I said to myself, a defected ship that still belongs to the poor people is better than no ship at all. Isn't that the case? So I know it's defected now, but this tyrant is going to see it, but it will be of no interest to him. So what do I do? I said, let us do this and let us keep our ship. So my brothers and sisters, again, let us look around us and what is happening, and let us pick our battles wisely. And finally, you know, part of having that human dignity and integrity within us, part of the belief that we all belong to the same family, is that we have got to purify our hearts and care for one another.
وہی معتبر ہوگی جو کامل اطاعت کے ساتھ انتہائی شدید محبت کے ساتھ اس ملک کا نظام باطل ہے اس ملک کا نظام طاغوتی ہے اللہ سے بغاوت پر مبنی ہے اللہ کی شریعت کہیں نافذ نہیں ہے اللہ کی حاکمیت کی نفی ہے
سب سے بہترین نظام
اپنے وقت کو ریلیز کیجئے اپنی قوتوں کو ریلیز کیجئے اور یہ وقت اور قوت کھپا دیجئے باطل نظام کو ختم کر کے اس کی جگہ حق کا نظام قائم کرنے کے
رب کا نظام
اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر لا الہ
السلام علیکم I am مختار مہراوی I wish all of you عید مبارک
My name is Shakiri.
My name is Naseem Abdul Rahman.
My name is Raj Wahaj.
My name is Musa Bena.
I was a Christian.
Hindu.
I had a Christian upbringing.
When I asked 10 people about Hinduism, I used to get 10 different answers.
My heart was attracted to Islam.
Oh yeah, he used to ask a lot of questions to the priests and I wasn't getting the answers.
Why did I become a Muslim? Allah knows best.
Alhamdulillah, I've made the right choice.
My choice, from ignorance to Islam.
A friendly message by Dr. Zakir. Old age home.
Al-Quran, Surah Al-Isra, chapter number 17, verses number 23 and 24 says, Your Lord has decreed that you worship none but Him, and that you be kind to parents. Whether one or both of them attain old age in your life, say not a word of contempt. Do not say oof to them, nor repel them, but address them in terms of honor. And out of kindness, lower to them the wing of humility and say, My Lord, bestow on them your mercy, even as they cherished me in childhood. There is no place for old age home in Islam.
Peace TV, the solution for humanity.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was sitting and a man entered the gathering or he passed by. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the comment and he said, a man is going to enter from that door and he is going to be one of the dwellers of paradise. So a very ordinary man comes in, you know, just normal, not very famous. Nothing happens. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ makes the same statement and the same man walks in. The third day, the Prophet ﷺ makes the same statement and the same man walks in. Now, Abdullah ibn Umar is sitting there and he said, this man has got to be incredible. 3 days in a row, the same statement, and Muhammad ﷺ is saying this about him. I've got to know what does he do. I want to be in that same position. So he goes to him and he says, you know, I have had a quarrel with my wife. It'll be best that if I can spend in a few days with you. In the Arab tradition, if a person ever asks you, you know, to stay over or spend some time with you, you don't inquire as to why or who or investigate or interrogate. So he takes him in. And Abdullah ibn Umar is up all night long, waiting for the man to get up and do his night prayers. But then the whole night passes by and the man only gets up for Fajr. So Abdullah ibn Umar says to himself, you know what? He probably overslept. The next day, he's up all night long waiting for the man to come and do his night prayers, and the man does not get up. So Abdullah ibn Umar, you know what, he maybe overslept two days in a row. The third day, Abdullah ibn Umar is up all night long, and the man does not get up for the night prayers, but he gets up for Fajr. So Abdullah ibn Umar goes to him and says, you know what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made that comment about you 3 days in a row, and I came here not having any problems with my wife, but I really wanted to know, what is it that you do? I did not see you get up at night. He said, you know what? I really do not pray a lot at night. I do my 5 daily prayers. But before I go to bed, I make sure that I clean my heart from any malice or any ill feelings to any of my Muslim brothers and sisters. And because of such an action, we may really think very little of it, but because of such an action, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that this person is going to be amongst the dwellers of paradise. Finally, my brothers and sisters, please think big of yourself. The whole issue of self-image psychology. You are an honored being by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not degrade yourself, and do not let others degrade yourself. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. The soul that is within you, no one can degrade. Be proud of who you are. Most important than being proud of who you are, live proud of who you are, and make sure that is the image that you give to yourself. Make good use of your time. They say the best way to do this is before you get to bed, ask yourself, did I do something today that was worth living? Did I do something today that was worth living? And if not, maybe inshallah you'll have tomorrow. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاك الله خير. We'll go ahead with the question answers. Preference will be given to non-Muslim brothers and sisters. Whoever was interested, they could walk up to the mic and ask a question.
Assalamu alaikum. I just want to ask about oppression of women. As Allah has given us all the rights for a woman, when she is oppressed, how can she handle that? What should she do to handle the oppression?
Like we said, there are two elements here. Number one, do not allow yourself to be oppressed. That is number one. And number two, when you are oppressed, you fight back. Now, this really does not make a difference whether you are a man, whether you are a woman. And sometimes, subhanAllah, we do not understand the plight of our sisters. The average woman walks out of an abusive relationship in an average of 12 to 18 years. That is when she walks out of an abusive relationship. What happens is that this is not a one-man job. Our communities, our masajid, our leaders must be, you know, approachable. They must be oppressed friendly. You know, they have to create an oppressed friendly atmosphere where people feel that, you know, they can come to someone and talk to them without being judged. For example, when I know that some imams do this, our sister comes in and she says, you know, my husband almost stabbed me with a knife today. And the very first question people ask is, what did you do? As if it can be justified. I really don't care what she did, but no human being deserves to be treated that way. So to me, what she did is really of no importance as to, you know, the fact that he is guilty of something like this. I would say, you know, depending on the nature of oppression that is taking place, but I'm assuming here that it could be, you know, physical abuse by a husband, or let's say, take this as an example here. I would say, you know, if depending on the consistency, depending on the intensity of the abuse that is taking place, I say, do something about it as soon as possible. Simply because, again, this is by means of observation, is that usually people who start, they embark this mission of constantly abusing their spouses, usually there is really no immediate end to it. And the misery will continue and it will continue and it will continue. So I say, definitely make sure that you approach someone that you think is wise and maybe will help, will not judge you, as soon as possible. I really do not know what kind of support groups you have in the area, but that's what we do at the States. In the masjid, for example, we have a social services committee. And these are people who have specialized in this. We have got shelters for sisters that are abused. And unfortunately, sometimes in sad cases, the masjid itself will call the police on behalf of the sister. Not that we are interested in getting that person arrested, but what happens is that there is so much abuse going on. If we let it continue, then the consequences are just not bearable, and definitely they are not Islamically accepted. The Prophet ﷺ said, whenever you see injustice, munkar, you try to eradicate it with your hand, or you try to speak against it, or, you know, that is if it is against you, definitely. But, you know, I am not a fan of people who are very passive and they just say, you know, I'm going to make sabr or I'm going to be patient, because that is really not the definition of patience. Patience is when you struggle to rid yourself of what is going on, but to no avail immediately. So you try again and you try again and you try again. And of course, remember all the time that if there is nothing that you can do, you remember that you always pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knows best.
Yes, yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Asif Ali. He was beautifully narrating about the status of women, ladies. Very beautifully narrated. But there is an ayat in Quran, Al-Rijalu Khabbamuna Al-Nisai. How you are going to explain this? Amidst so many confusion in relationship of man and woman.
I'm really interested in the very first word in the ayah, Al-Rijal, men. The Quran makes a clear distinction between a man and a male. For example, Allah says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. And from the outskirt of the city, a man came. And in the other verse it says, and a man came from the outskirt of the city. Yet, when it comes to the issue of inheritance, Allah mentions the word ذَكَر, فَلِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that the male inherits twice the share of a female. Now, what is interesting here is that whenever good deeds were mentioned, Allah would use the term rajul, man. And that is why Ibn Hibban, Ibn Hayyan, in his book, The Explanation of the Quran, he said, not every man that grows a beard becomes a man. Meaning that he said manhood is a position that is attained by a male due to his work. So what happens is that so that we do justice to the verse, let us keep this in mind. That when Allah speaks of a rajul, he is speaking of someone that really deserved that title. And that is why the term rajul in Arabic means it is derived from the root verb tarajjala. And that is someone who is firmly standing on the ground. And sometimes that is referred to a woman as well. But in this sense, it means that this is someone that has firmly established himself on the basis of faith, deen. It was said that one time Umar ibn Khattab was sitting along with his friends and he said, Ya ayyuhan nas tamannu. People, if you were granted a wish, what would you wish for? So one man said, I wish that I have, you know, a gold that would fill this room and I will spend it in the path of Allah. So Umar kept quiet and then he said, Ya ayyuhan nas tamannu. Oh, people, go ahead, wish. If you were granted a wish, what would it be? So another man belittled the whole idea of gold and he said, well, I wish that this room was full of diamond that I will use and spread the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Umar kept quiet again and he said, people, come on, wish. If you were granted a wish, what would it be? So people said, oh, Umar, by Allah, we don't know what to wish for. We thought that we wished for the best. And Umar said, had it been my wish, I wish that Allah would grant me men of the caliber of Abu Ubaidah Amr ibn al-Jarrah, al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, so that I may use to spread the deen of Allah. So when we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising Rajul or this or that, make sure that person was praised not because of his physique or his gender. That person was praised and preferred due to his action and due to his conduct. And Allah knows best.
ربنا الله ربنا الله ليس غير الله ربا للعباد كل من أهمل ذاتيته فهو أولى الناس قربا بالفناء لن يرى في الدهر قوميته